Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
This week we're heading back to Disney Plus.
Oh.
Yeah. So there used to be a Through the Decades section on Disney Plus, and they don't anymore.
Yeah, those jerks changed up their sorting feature.
But didn't they know we were doing a recurring podcast segment? Man.
No, I don't think they did.
No, I don't but we're sticking with it.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense anyway.
Yeah. So we have been looking at Disney, specifically focusing on the animated features, but just Disney in general by the decade. And we're up to the 1970s, so that's what we're talking about this week.
Cool.
Yeah. You can kind of see, it's not quite through the decades anymore, but they do have the animation studio section released kind of by decades, sort of.
There's like 20 years at a time. I don't know. It's not quite as neat and cut as it used to be. But
so we're doing it instead.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do it instead. Before we get to that, though, Brandon, what's your current nerd thing this week?
I didn't think about that.
I know a nerd thing for you.
Well, I got vaccinated
today.
That
was the nerd thing. Yeah.
Yay, science.
Yay.
Yeah, we're working towards ending this whole pandemic thing. And I got my jab today.
Yep, jabby jab.
And my arm's a little sore, but otherwise, A-okay.
And I've been sending you Stormtrooper pew-pew memes all day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's pretty good. It's nerdy. Yay, science.
Yay, science. Yay.
Alberta's not in a great place pandemic-wise right now, so definitely good.
We're still optimistic, though.
We're very optimistic, yes. My nerd thing, I don't know. I'm teaching online again, and so I guess my nerd thing is just kind of living through that and dealing with that.
I get to hear you reading of Mice and Men.
And you're like, man, I haven't heard that book in a while.
That's a good book.
It's good. And talking about Death of a Salesman and other such things. Yeah.
Poetry, yes.
My creative writing class is doing, we're starting script formatting today. Yeah. You don't like hearing all that? It's so fun.
Exterior. Rain. No.
No. Yeah, okay. Anyway, okay. I'm shaking my head at Brandon, but since we haven't started our YouTube channel yet, you don't know that.
Yet.
Another question we always talk about top of show. Brandon, what are you drinking tonight?
Well, I'm drinking the same thing you're drinking.
Yes,
I just poured it.
Yeah.
From the same growler.
Yep.
But we are enjoying the local brewery's finest brew.
I don't know if this is the finest brew.
One of their finest brews.
That I'll give you.
Mountain Juice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a delicious, like, kind of IPA-ish, citrusy thing.
Yeah, it's
and
good.
It's tasty.
Yeah.
Lovely summer day here today, so.
It was until it started to rain.
Well, yeah.
It was a summer rain, though.
Summer rain.
Which is good
nice
in May.
Nice and warm.
Yeah, nice in May. We typically also do a talk about, like, what current TV shows out right now, but we are not currently watching Bad Batch.
No, we're still behind on our Star Wars animated features.
It's true. We're watching Clone Wars. So, never mind. We'll do a Bad Batch episode near the end, maybe.
Yeah, when we get caught up, we gotta keep working on that. But we're in between Marvel shows, but there's a lot to come.
Yeah, Loki, before you know it.
Oh.
So exciting. So I guess that takes us to the news. Disney A News Update.
Okay. News. Yes, news. So it was announced that Shang-Chi and also a Fox release, the Ryan Reynolds Free Guy, where he's like an NPC in a video game movie.
Cool.
They're going to actually have, for the first time in a while for a Disney release, they're going to have a theatrical release 45 days before it's on any streaming service. So it's not a simultaneous.
Really?
Yeah, not a simultaneous premiere access type of thing at all. So that's interesting there. I guess they're very optimistic. This is going to be in summer sometime.
Right.
Because Black Widow, of course, is a simultaneous premiere access. And Luca is a free release. No premiere access.
And Jungle Cruise is, I think, simultaneous.
Jungle Cruise is simultaneous. So, they're experimenting.
Yeah. Well, and Cruella, I guess, is the first thing, but that's simultaneous, of course, because, I mean, if these other ones are, of course. So they're experimenting, but really, do we have an exact date for Shang-Chi or not yet?
I think it was in August sometime. I don't know.
That's pretty cool. It's kind of optimistic.
Very optimistic.
I mean, that.
Things are opening up and...
Well, not here, but other places.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yay.
And along those lines, it was announced that Disneyland is going to be increasing their capacity to 35%.
Wow.
the tier system's still in effect, so...
For now.
For now. They're going into the yellow tier, apparently, and that's what's going to let them do this. Yeah, that's exciting. As long as they can figure out the whole rides. There's been some talk of, like, you're going to let all these extra people into the park, but you don't have anywhere to sit them because they still can't eat inside, so we got these extra tables outside, and there's going to be crowding. And
not only the tables, but you can't line up inside, so they're having lineups outside until it's time to, like, walk through the indoor queues.
Yeah.
So you have these lineups, like, going to, like, regular walkways and...
Yeah, and things like Indiana Jones, like, most of the queues inside, so... I don't know. Yeah. They've been using the Jungle Cruise lineup.
Right.
Because that's closed.
And I mean, Indiana Jones is moving to, like, a virtual queue.
Yeah, so they're implementing a virtual queue for that. Are they going to do that for a bunch of things?
Well,
or,
that's the question. Know.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The
in-between time here is going to be a little tough, I think.
Right. I think it's messy.
A little messy.
But moving towards.
People are still going to be excited to go to Disneyland, even if they don't get to do as much. Yeah.
Yeah. So... Have you ever been to Disney without a Fast Pass system in place?
No. The first time I went to a Disney park was Disney World, and they had just put in Fast Passes.
Okay. I was...
It was, like, a brand new thing.
We went, like, 2 years, within 2 years of each other, and the second time was, in those 2 years gap, was there were Fast Passes, and they were new. You know, they were the ones where everyone was glaring at you walking through the lines because they didn't understand what was going on. But the time we'd been before... I remember thinking after a day or so that anything less than an hour lineup was, like, pretty good time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if they don't figure out this lining situation, that's where they're going to be at again. I remember waiting for 2 hours for Splash Mountain because it was July. And
you still do that, but you also have a Fast Pass that you're ready to go to after. So
exactly.
you basically get two rides for that 2 hour wait. Whereas before, no.
Unless that's kind of where there's the danger of going to be again. That being said, it was what it was. Like, we didn't know what Fast Passes were there. They didn't exist at the time.
Yeah.
So it was a crazy lineup, but it was, like, part of it.
Yeah.
So maybe this is something that people are just going to have to be used to until we get past this weird in-between time.
You have to get used to it. I don't know. It was this wild time when I went. It was, like, 2000, and they were, like, brand spanking new in Disney World. I don't know if they came in 99 or what.
Yeah.
But... a lot of people didn't know how to use them, and it was, like, a great...
Yeah.
It was a great time, but...
I think I was there in 98 and 2000, and 2000 they were there in 98, they weren't. Yeah. Or it might have been 99 and 2001. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the idea was, like, we went back, and I was like, what are these things? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was crazy, and it was awesome, but the time before that, I distinctly remember being, like, 2 hour lineup, yeah, okay.
Hmm.
An hour lineup, anything less than an hour, like, hey, that's pretty sweet, like... People are going to have a little bit of a rude awakening in terms of that if they do not figure out this whole queuing situation.
They probably will.
Be patient, people. It's just a temporary thing.
Yeah.
And you get to be at Disney.
And along those lines, the CDC in the States, we don't have CDC here in Canada. That's an American thing. But they released out their guidelines for fully vaccinated people. They can start not wearing masks basically everywhere.
That is blowing my mind.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It's nice that there's a little carrot for people to get vaccinated, because there's a little bit of hesitancy there, especially like all the doom and gloom, wow, we're going to be masking for 3 years type of thing.
Apparently not. Apparently you can stop, like, almost immediately.
Yeah, well, there's...
And you're fully vaccinated?
From the last stats I saw, 45% of the states have been fully vaccinated or something like that. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we're a little different here. We do have, like, fully vaccinated numbers, but the big push was to get everyone one.
They switched their focus to do first doses for everybody because we had such a limited supply for the last month.
The idea is, you know, 70%, 80%, whatever percentage is better than the zero, right?
Some protection's better than none.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense to me.
Yes.
So... it is a little bit different in the States, but that's pretty crazy because I think it was when it's 50% or more, they were going to move to no more masks? Is that right?
No, they're just saying people who are fully vaccinated
flat
now,
out, like right now, you can start.
And like any state guidelines, of course, override. This is just recommendations from the CDC.
And then it's up to the states.
They don't
follow.
Have any like legal powers or anything like that. They're just the doctors that are saying vaccinations are good and wear masks when necessary, mm-hmm. type of thing. And like,
but
of course,
hey, if you're fully vaccinated,
state governors have the
of
actual
course.
Power. Yeah,
of course. Interesting. That's really cool.
And like businesses can say, like Disneyland can say, yeah, you're going to wear masks in our park.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But that's still quite a light at the end of the tunnel.
I think so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
And then back to Disney Plus, we got some news that the What If animated MCU series is on track to be released in August. So that's after Loki. I think that's going to be the next series to come to Disney Plus.
That's really cool. That looks like a really cool
different
series. It
looks super fun.
Series.
And while it is animated, they got the voices. All the voices are from the actual people from the movie. So you got Hayley Atwell reprising her role as Peggy Carter, but she's going to be Captain America. Yeah, stuff like that. And even Chadwick Boseman,
really?
The late Chadwick Boseman, is going to lend his voice posthumously to that episode, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
I might cry watching that.
Interesting.
How wonderful, though. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we still, on tap for 2021, we still have Hawkeye and Ms. Marvel to come.
Wow. Going to be a last half bit. Well, I guess our first half was busy too, right?
Exactly.
Our first half,
they had a lot of stuff built up. So yeah, lots of Marvel to come.
That's awesome. We'll have to return to our weekly Marvel recap as soon as Loki starts again, because we're not waiting to watch that.
And of course, Black Widow coming in July.
I know.
Yes. Oh. So yeah, lots of Marvel.
Oh yay!
I think we called it the year of Marvel.
We did. We called it the year of Marvel. We haven't called it that in like a couple weeks.
Yeah,
so we probably
it is though.
The year of Marvel. Yeah. Still the year of Marvel, people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
But yeah, that's all I got. I don't know. Did you want to add anything to news?
Well, there's been some discussion about, you know, the annual pass program and things like that. With the news coming out about, you know, increasing capacity and things like that, there's been a lot of talk online about the type of programming, and a lot of previous annual pass holders online have been upset because it sounds like they're not going to be bringing back the same annual pass holders.
This is me playing my tiny violin.
They can't see we're not on YouTube yet.
Oh. Anyway, you're going to have to adapt. It's going to be a different...
Yeah.
It was a bad time, but it was also a handy time for them to make this pivot that they were already shifting
towards it anyway. It basically was a catalyst for it all change at one time. I guess they say that, you know, they're looking at a loyalty program or something like that instead. And some people are upset, but of course, no details have been released. So...
You know what I tell
those
people?
It is what it is.
We don't even know yet, but... When we do know and they're still upset, because that's what people do.
Everyone is upset about things they're not used to.
Yeah, sure. But you know what they can do? Build a bridge.
And get over it.
You're
very harsh tonight.
I am. I don't know. We're cut off. We can't go to Disneyland right now.
We can't even cross the border.
We can't travel. We can't even leave our province right now because we're like this horrible hot spot of Canada. I don't know. Like, people need to be more positive about what they can do and they...
You can still go to Disneyland, which is wonderful. And
They need to turn down the entitlement to half a notch, maybe.
Wow. Really? I don't know. I'm sympathetic because I understand when you're used to one thing, especially something that you love and is important to you, and that you feel like, and you feel, whether or not it's actually being taken away, if you feel like it's been taken away, I understand being upset about that. Totally get that. And I also understand, especially something like the annual pass program, like you do pay a lot of money for something, and if you feel like that hasn't been appreciated, or your loyalty as a customer or a consumer hasn't been appreciated, I understand being upset about that. I do think that that part gets overblown. I understand that Disneyland specifically is like a large proponent the previous annual pass holders. That still wasn't everyone, and you're still going to go. It's just going to look different. It's not like they're not going to have an annual pass program. It's going to be different.
Everybody that goes to Disneyland spends a lot of money.
It's 100% true. We just spend it in 1 week as opposed to spread out over a couple months.
Yeah, and annual pass holders get lots of perks.
It's true.
Even now, the legacy pass holders, they get a discount. They get special merch. Yeah. and they're not actually paying anything right now. They're yeah. just getting rewarded for their past.
Yeah, which is pretty good.
Which is good. Yeah, you know what? Whatever. They spent X number of dollars yeah. every year, and they're getting that. But I don't know. You gotta stay with the times, and if you have to make reservations, yep. so what? You still get to go to Disneyland a whole bunch.
100%. Yeah. A good friend of ours lives in California, and he's gonna be going to Disneyland
this weekend.
We're recording on Friday, and he'll be there on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, thinking about him. And that's the thing is, like, we're upset. We don't, not only Disneyland, we don't get to travel, period.
Yeah.
We don't even get to, well, we're not supposed to leave our province and we live.
We're not supposed to leave our, like, subsection of the province, yeah. really, at this yeah. point.
And we live, like, less than half an hour away from the border to the other province, just because we're such a hot spot. But it's more like, I'm really excited for the people who get to go. And
sure.
I love, we talked last week about living vicariously through YouTube and things like that. Like, I'm excited for all of that. And I definitely don't begrudge anyone who gets to go. But I also do think that, you know, and I sympathize with things being really tough and things like that. But I also understand that things change. And so let's change with them.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
And be happy that you can share the joy of Disneyland yeah. rather than trying to hog it all for yourself. I don't know.
Yeah, Disneyland is when he says Disneyland is your land, he didn't mean for people within a certain
Southern
kilometers.
California.
But I mean, like, at the same time, I would feel entitled to probably be long there too. So I also understand that. That's probably enough talking about the news.
Probably.
Okay, let's move on to our main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
I laugh every time I hear that Disney Plus and chill intro.
That was a good idea.
That was so good.
It's okay. For the children.
Clearly.
Yeah.
So let's talk 1970s Disney. I have here...
I was not born then.
No, nor was I.
Yeah.
I'm old, but not that old.
No, okay.
I thought I would run down, kind of like I always do, a bunch of the historic notables of the Disney company. Then let's talk about the big movie releases.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
I'm here for the history lesson.
Okay, because I, like, this is kind of my nerd thing.
Yeah.
This is my nerd thing. All right, here we go. And I kind of went chronologically. The Walt Disney Archives was first established in 1970.
Oh.
That's, like, a huge thing. They just had their anniversary last year. It was a big deal. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, like,
the 50th.
50 years. Yeah. That's
how that works.
It's a long time.
Speaking of big things and what's happening this year, Walt Disney World opens in 1971.
Yeah, that's...
Also 70, that's, 50 years.
That's pretty big. Yeah.
Same year Roy Disney died. Yeah. So after that, we have basically... Remember how we were talking about after Walt died, how Disney was kind of thrown into a bit of turmoil? There was a bit of stress?
Just a little bit.
Okay, so worse than the 70s.
Yeah.
Because after Roy Disney died, Don Tatum becomes CEO from 71 to 76, and Card Walker became the president in 71, and then after Tatum, he became the CEO. Ron Miller, who was Walt's son-in-law, became the president in 78, and there was so much infighting in the 70s.
I can just imagine right? the boardroom drama going on.
Oh, this isn't even all of it yet. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So Miller and Walker specifically, although he clashed with others too, really clashed. Basically, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, Miller wanted more adult films. Walker did not. Basically, Miller was kind of like we're talking, like, you got to get with the times here. And Walker was like, we have to stay true to our past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, neither one wrong, neither one right. You have to, it's a balancing act.
That's right.
But there was a lot of infighting. Roy E. Disney, as in Roy's son.
Roy Jr. Yeah,
yep, Roy Jr. He resigned from the company in 77. He cited a concern over all overall declining product quality and issues with management. So you can see all of the stuff like just falling apart.
Oh, yeah. Drama.
In 1979, 13 animators, including Don Bluth, leave Disney to found
Don
his own
Bluth.
Studio. You know,
yeah.
You know who this is, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I looked, I knew some, but I looked up, I was like, he did all of that?
Oh, yeah. Don Bluth
Holy.
Don Bluth was incredible, and they he was in Disney, and they ticked him off,
yeah.
and
yeah.
he went and...
With 13 other animators.
Was, like, their main competition there, yeah.
So, the quotation I found was, Bluth was disheartened with the way the Disney company was run. He wanted to revive the classical animation style of studios' earlier classics. So, if you don't know, what's your favorite Don Bluth? Mine's Secret of Nim.
American Tale is
Oh, wait.
Good.
American
yeah.
Tale's amazing.
Yeah. And, oh, no. Land Before Time.
Oh, yeah. Dinosaurs.
Land Before
Time. Of course.
I love Land Before Time because it was dinosaurs. I also hated Land Before Time because they made up silly nicknames for all the types of dinosaurs. And I was a young child that was absolutely obsessed with dinosaurs when this movie came out.
So you were a snob.
And when they when they called brachiosaurs long necks, I had a mental breakdown. And stuff like that. But I still love Land Before Time.
It's a really good movie.
Just use the proper
names. Secret of
NIMH
was one of my favorites. I watched that one on repeat along with Princess Bride and Neverending Story and every single Disney movie.
I did like that one as well because it's quite dark.
It was. Did you ever read the books?
No.
Oh, you should. It's good. It's one of the kids' books I actually read.
Yeah.
All Dogs Go to Heaven. I like Thumbelina. That's on Disney Plus now, I think, actually. I didn't know this. So there's an animated section of Xanadu, which I've never actually seen. But I know it's a huge cult classic kind of thing.
That's a weird movie.
Also, they did a Broadway play of that. So anyway, he did that. And he did the arcade games Dragon's Lair and Space Age.
Oh, Dragon's Lair, it's mostly just like an interactive cutscene is what Dragon's Lair is. But the animation is absolutely gorgeous.
Interesting.
And it ate quarters back in the day. I've been told. I don't know.
We weren't in the round in the 70s. We probably don't need to talk quite so long about Tom Bluth, but just the fact that this kind of powerhouse left and took all these animators with him to create his own because they were so upset with what was happening with Disney in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, I think that speaks a lot.
It does.
And that Roy's son left.
So, yeah, there was problems.
There were problems.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk Disney parks. The big one, Disney World opens 1971.
Yep.
Disneyland, we have some big things. The most beloved Disney parade ever opened in 1972. Do you know what it was?
Well, it says here it was the Main Street Electrical Parade.
You're reading it off my notes.
Yeah, yes, I am.
It is the Main Street Electrical Parade, yes. But
they still bring that back periodically.
They do.
Yeah.
It was there when we were there in 2008. It was there again.
It's cool. It is cool.
It's very cool. Yeah. I distinctly remember seeing it when I went, I think the first time was 1990. And yeah, I've seen it several times because every once in a while they just bring her on back out and it's popular as ever. But the big thing was the original Disney Nighttime Spectacular. Basically, if this hadn't happened, we would never have World of Color. We would never have Fantasmic, right? And then the other thing is what I love about it, when you watch the old ones, it's the only time you get to see some of those maybe less popular Disney movies. One is actually on my list of movies that came out in the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. And some favorites, Space Mountain comes out in 77 in Disneyland.
In Disneyland. It opened in Disney World.
And there goes one of the trivia questions I was going to ask you.
Oh.
But yes, it opened in Disney World before it opened in
Disneyland. Yeah, of course. Yeah, which surprised me when I found this out. But
it was one of the few.
Because you think it's like a quintessential Disneyland, like one of the mountains, all this stuff. But yeah, no, it was in Disney World first.
Well, speaking of mountains, 1979, Big Thunder Mountain.
Which blows my mind that this was such a late addition to the park.
So this was the first Tony Baxter attraction. And when you're talking like serious Imagineers who put their stamp on serious, what we now consider classic quintessential Disney parks attractions, you're talking Tony Baxter. And yeah, his first one was 79 with Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And this is one that's so cool to see how it has shifted from park to park around the world.
Yeah, it's in a lot of parks and they have their own slight twist on it.
Yeah.
They're all very similar.
Yeah.
It's not quite the Haunted Mansion where they're like completely different.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's little
changes here and there. Yeah.
Still the wildest ride in the wilderness.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to come back to talk about the animated and partly animated. I want to jump down to live action mentionables.
Okay.
That's kind of how we have organized here. It's just how animated they were. So the 70s, Disney's continuing its thing, its crazy thing with the live action movies.
Yeah, It makes sense.
Yep.
These live action movies are probably going to be cheaper to make.
Yep.
Like, animation's very expensive.
So I'm curious. I kind of want to go through here and count how many young Jodie Foster was in. Because it's, I think, almost all of them.
A lot, yeah.
So many of them. Okay, so these are not all of them. These are the ones that were popular or that I remember seeing or something. So we have Escape to Witch Mountain.
Not the remake that came out with The Rock.
No, this is 75.
Yeah.
The Apple Dumpling Gang. Do you ever watch that one?
No, I've only seen clips and mentions of it, but yeah.
So, The Best of Walt Disney's True Life Adventures. This isn't quite a live action, but we talked before about his True Life Adventures. They were the, like, nature documentary style things, which is since, like, Disney has continued its nature documentaries or revisited them. But this was, like, a compilation of his previous ones, which was pretty cool. Best of. Yeah, exactly.
Slow motion captures of the lemmings flying off the cliff and think, no?
No, I don't think they did slow motion, just the regular.
Just the regular? Yeah. Okay.
Gus, Freaky Friday, again, young Jodie Foster in that one. Candleshoe, hey, guess what? Young Jodie Foster in that one. Return from Witch Mountain, The Cat from Outer Space has the best title of all of these. The Apple Dumpling Gang rides again. And then the last one I want to talk about a little bit more. In 1979, The Black Hole came out. This was the first Disney film to be rated PG. Now, we're thinking that now and we're like, okay, neat. Like, right?
But like, if they hadn't done it before, it's a big
well,
step.
Well, it was such a thing that in night. Have you ever watched the 1950s Treasure Island? Don't. But it is on Disney Plus if you want to. When they re-released it in 75, there was a shot of a bullet wound that they actually had to cut out because under the new rating system, it would have made a PG, and they were so adamantly against PG ratings. They're like, no, it has to be a G, so they had to completely cut out the scenes. Exactly. It also was Disney's most expensive film to date, to that date. $20 million, which was crazy at the time, considering they were doing all these other things. And it is considered as like the herald or the ushered in other darker movies. However, they brought it out because of Star Wars hype, and I won't talk about Star Wars here in a minute. And then it got lost in the Star Wars hype because in 1979, Star Wars was re-released in theaters.
Probably just never left theaters.
Well, like, probably not. And it was a slew of other sci-fi movies, of course, got released at the same time. However, once it came out on VHS and all that fun stuff, like other things, it kind of became a bit of a cult classic. But it's considered quite dark. When people heard they were releasing a PG movie, they thought it was going to be full of swears and profanity and all that stuff.
Oh, yes. The horrible profanity of those PG movies.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, I think it had, like, I think it said hell twice or something like that. Yeah, it was PG. It's still PG,
people. Excuse me while I clutch my pearls.
I'm not wearing pearls today. It's like, sometimes I actually do that. But it's actually quite dark and nightmarish. Mm. So, yeah, it's kind of cool. And then we had a couple partly animated movies that are now considered classics. One, which is Bedknobs and Broomsticks. I love Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Yeah, this is like one of your favorites.
Well, I mean, it's not like Mary Poppins. It's just like fun and silly, and I'm always happy watching it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is about it, but I love it. Yeah,
I don't know what to tell you.
So that came out in 71. It's partly animated, kind of the way Mary Poppins was partly animated. And then in 77, maybe I just have a thing for the partly animated ones, because I love Pete's Dragon. That's the one that's in Main Street Electrical Parade. Yeah, Elliot rides on Pete's back. It's really cool.
Very cute.
There's a giant electric Pete. He's very cool.
Okay.
Or Elliot. It's the other way around. Pete's the boy.
Pete is the boy because it's his Pete's dragon. Not Dragon's Dragon.
No, that doesn't make any sense.
No.
Pete is riding on Elliot's back. There's a giant Elliot and he's green and he has smoke coming. It's very cool.
Very cool. Yeah.
Are you laughing at me a little bit?
A little bit. It's kind of funny.
You want me to do the spell chant from Bedknobs and Broomsticks when she makes...
Not really.
Okay. Weird.
I don't want to get turned into a toad or...
No, it's you make inanimate objects come to life, and that's how they fight.
I don't want that either. That sounds really dangerous. I've seen Sorcerer Mickey, and that does not end well.
That's true. It's true. Fair. Okay, so let's talk animated. This is, there's some classics in here. Again, in order of release, in 1970, we have the Aristocats.
Okay, yeah, that's cute. I mean, cats. Cute.
Yeah, mm-hmm. There's a little, something didn't age too well in this one.
Well, I mean, that's old animated movies are like that.
Yeah, I raised an octave. 1973, Robin Hood.
Oh, yes. Oh, this was a good one.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. The knock against it is it's not really a cohesive plot. It's kind of like snippets, but it works because it's like the Legend of Robin Hood, and you kind of like...
Well, he had many adventures.
Explore his many adventures. Yeah.
It's not as snippety as, say, like Alice in Wonderland, but I do see what you're saying.
Yeah. It's still a little snippety. A little bit.
I'll give you a little snippety. The characters are here are fantastic. Mm. Yeah, it was like slightly cheaply made. You can see the overlap from previous animation sketches. And you know what? I don't care. It's super fun.
Yeah. No, it's good. I mean, everybody likes the tale of Robin Hood.
They made it with foxes.
Again and again.
Yeah, I love it.
Foxes are cute.
Exactly. It's fantastic. The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh came out in 1977.
Yeah, this is a good one.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. And then same year we have The Rescuers.
The Rescuers is good too. Right? So, you know, the 70s were actually better for animated features than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these, you know, they stood the test of time, I guess, so to say. And I was looking at, because we've talked before about doing an underrated Disney movie kind of episode, and any other conversation I see about underrated Disney movies, The Rescuers gets mentioned again and again and again. Like, people love The Rescuers.
Yeah, I think it was diminished slightly by the hack job of a sequel that they made.
I think I watched the sequel more than the original when I was a kid.
The Rescuers Down Under in the 80s is rough. But the original Rescuers is a good story, and
it's actually really sad. There's parts of it that are really sad.
It's a little deeper and like pretty animation, mm-hmm. and the characterization.
You got and they're cute little mice.
Strong woman character and a bumbling man. Yeah. Like, it's not your typical gender dynamic.
Bernard and Bianca are adorable. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy villain, which is always anyone. But okay. There's one more thing I want to talk about before we get to that. Of the animated features I talked about, which one's your favorite?
Oh, it's got to be Winnie the Pooh.
100%.
Robin Hood's in there in a close second, but
Robin Hood might be my brother's favorite. I'm trying to think about that. We've watched that.
He does. Yeah. He does really like Robin Hood. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, and you know what? Crazy awesome minstrel in Robin Hood. So, like, hats off for Oodalali Oodalali over here.
But when it's coming down to it, I agree.
There's one Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, I absolutely adore it. It's just a kid's imagination come to life, and I liked that aspect of it. And I had all the little Winnie the Pooh toys, and it was great.
I would like to say the same, except I have to change it from had to have.
Right. Yes, of course.
My Nuimos.
your little Nuimos. Where's Tigger anyway?
You're trying to make me sad. We're getting Tigger. As soon as we can drive again, we're going to go get Tigger.
Oh, okay.
Our Disney store is like a few hours away, and we have to stay in our own little area. When we can drive again, we're getting Tigger. He's sad and left alone.
Yeah. You left him all alone.
I know.
Oh, horrible.
I was trying to exercise self-restraint. It'll never happen again, I promise.
Uh-oh.
You brought this on yourself. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I love Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, Winnie the Pooh.
Absolutely Winnie the Pooh. But, I mean, some excellent ones. I enjoy watching all four of these animated features. Like, a lot.
Yeah, no, they're all good. They're all absolutely...
The Aristocats is having quite a moment because people love Marie so much. The three little kittens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like cats are cool and
yeah, exactly.
It's the right age to be cool for hipster type people again. Yeah. Makes sense.
Just before their time. But I agree. Give me Winnie the Pooh every day. But all of these I really like. Robin Hood is awesome. But I love The Rescuers. All good. All good. Other one I want to mention, pretty big movie comes out in the 70s.
Yeah, like not Disney at the time. But
Disney now.
Certainly Disney now. Yeah, well, we talked about it a little bit already, but yeah, Star Wars.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal in pop culture history.
So, I don't know. I was trying to think about this. My students and I were talking about it. If there was a movie that has had such an effect on everything to do with pop culture as Star Wars has. Good luck thinking of one, because I couldn't.
No, I
mean, unless you want to go like... super old school classic, like not old school, but like vintage classic, like Wizard of Oz or something like that.
Not even that, though.
But like,
I'm sorry, no.
It has just permeated everything.
No, it's a thing unto itself, which is crazy to think about because it probably should have failed. Like, if you write it down on paper, like it doesn't make sense.
Well, even Lucas thought he was like, hey, we're going to break even on this one.
It's something else.
So this is an article I got about Disney and Star Wars at the time. Not Disney and Star Wars now. Now they're very good friends. Disney was one of many Hollywood studios that Lucas had approached with Star Wars, and they, just like everyone else, turned it down flat. Science fiction, the thinking went, was box office poison. Even Lucas, who'd insisted that Roy Disney himself might have snapped up Star Wars had he still been alive, thought that his space saga would only just break even. He figured Roy would understand, like, the logic behind why it would work.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, but, fair.
But break even, yeah. Break even.
Yeah, he was wrong.
It's not a good sales feature. No. So you might, if you're lucky, break even on this. Yeah.
After Jaws and Star Wars, younger audiences wanted edgier entertainment, and the live-action Disney films Disney was cranking out just didn't measure up. So in the late 70s, Disney embarked on a fresh approach to movie making, resulting in a string of films that were, by the studio standards, unusually dark. So Star Wars happens, and because of it, even though Disney didn't snap it up, and they were looking at each other afterwards going, oops. Kind of like
them,
every other studio.
And everybody else, yeah.
They were like, what can we learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people forget about this, but at the end of the day, Star Wars is actually fairly a kids' movie.
Yeah.
The people that are, like, rabid fans about it right now were kids when it came out originally.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it took such hold of them at the time. The prequels were kind of hated when they came out, and the people that were kids then
love them.
They love them, and they're kind of seeing a resurgence now, because as they come of age and stuff like that. Well, I mean, they came out 22 years
stop
ago.
Stop it.
Fun fact. Here's a fun fact. Yeah, episode one is as old now as episode four was when episode one came out.
See, we don't have a YouTube channel right now, so they can't see me scowling at you.
Yeah, so
that's terrible.
That's kind of crazy.
Horrible.
The time from 77.
Yeah, no, I understand how time works. I just don't like
it. To 99.
I remember when I was in school in 99, and my teacher was talking about these movies coming out and telling everyone, he's like, you guys do not understand, like, the hype, it's going to be crazy, and it's not just, like, a movie coming out. Like, this is a whole thing that, like, you don't understand how crazy this is going to be. And I remember lining up to watch it, you know, with my family, and, yep, I've never seen people dress up for a movie before. but, you know, and they weren't crazy like now. I say as I wear R2 outfit.
No, they were crazy. So I remember the closest theater that was playing it to me was an hour's drive away.
Okay.
And so I got out of school a little bit early with my dad, and we drove an hour. And we lined up, and it sold out.
Yep.
And so we drove home. And the next day we drove back and got tickets and went to it. And there was people watching it for the, like, third time by that point, because they had been playing it all day.
Right.
And they were still in their Jedi costume from the night before. It was a big deal.
I know. I believe you. Question. When The Force Awakens came out, you watched it. So they did the midnight showing, but they actually did, like, the late night showing. I think you had tickets at, like, 9:30 or something.
Yep.
You watched it, you looped back around, watched it again at midnight, and then we had tickets for opening day because I was at work and couldn't
come. Opening day.
Opening day.
Not preview
so
night, yeah.
So by opening day, we watched it like the matinee the day it came out, and that was your third time viewing it.
That's true, yeah.
But you weren't in costume.
No.
Were you in costume?
No, I wasn't in costume. I was there writing an accounting exam, so I didn't have my costume along.
Oh, yeah. But I remember watching this. Do you know what's interesting is my students now, most of them like the prequels. Do you know why? Clone Wars.
Oh, yes. So that's the other thing, yes. Clone Wars has kind of saved the prequels because it gave the whole dark arc of Anakin some credence, and I totally buy into that now, watching the Clone Wars. I'm like, oh yeah, this actually saves those movies.
Right. I couldn't figure out why these, like, very intelligent and, like, super analytical individuals, because I'm like, it's not nostalgia for you. You were not born when came out.
You were not alive.
But you were a child, because they're now teenagers. Mm. You were a child when Clone Wars started playing, and so it's through that. So, interesting. Yes.
It is interesting.
Star Wars comes out in 77, and it shifts everything.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, Disney owns Star Wars, so, yeah. It's not Disney in 77, but it's still a 1970s related Disney thing.
It sure sets the stage for the 80s.
Oh, does it ever.
Yeah, so we're probably going to have to talk about it again. in the 80s.
Yes, episode. That's true. That's true. And plus, I mean, heck, we have Star Tours and it's a whole thing.
So, you said that Winnie the Pooh is your favorite animated.
Yes.
What's your favorite from the whole decade? Is it still Winnie the Pooh, or are you like Bedknobs and Broomsticks coming in?
Okay, that's a tough one. Mm-hmm. Okay, no, I'm going to go Winnie the Pooh. It is impossible for me not to be happy watching Winnie the Pooh.
No cat from outer space.
No.
You're not going to escape from Witch Mountain.
I've never seen that one. I did watch Candleshoe, though.
Yeah, you did. I remember when you saw that.
Yeah. I have it somewhere here. I think actually someone lent it to me and I never gave it back.
Whoops.
Whoops.
You shouldn't say that out loud. People no. are listening. People are listening.
I think they moved before it.
Oh, okay.
Like, it wasn't my fault.
Okay. They're not listening. It's
they're
fine.
Probably not. This is fine. I don't know. Like, we're talking, probably Winnie the Pooh. It's so tough, though. I mean, like, and how do you discount Star Wars? Are we counting that? It wasn't Disney at the time.
Well, okay. If we're counting Star Wars, that's my favorite.
Well, okay. Let's not count Star Wars then.
Oh.
I'm probably going to go Winnie the Pooh.
I'm still going to say Star Wars.
My second favorite's probably Pete's Dragon. Mm. I love Pete's Dragon. Mm. Do you know that there is a song from Pete's Dragon that played at our wedding?
No.
Yeah, there is.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't like When I Walked Down the Aisle 2 or anything. It was just like a background song. Yeah. The song Candle on the Water. It's a mushy
Seems
one.
Seems like a bad place to put a candle.
It's about a lighthouse.
It's a it's metaphorical.
Here's another Disney reference. Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. High five. Mm.
Ow, that was my vax
arm. Why did you use that arm?
Because I had my beer in the other hand.
Okay, what about you? What's your favorite?
So we can't say Star Wars?
No, you're not saying Star Wars. It's too easy.
Star Wars?
Other than Star Wars.
Episode 4, A New Hope?
Okay, not Star Wars at all.
Okay. The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Yeah, yeah. The Heffalumps and Woozles section of that...
That's actually messed up.
It was super messed up. That always scared the heck out of me.
Me too. And I mean, like, by always,
but
like,
I liked it.
Now.
I liked it scaring the heck out of me.
Yeah, well, that's you. You, speaking of the 80s, you like weird stuff like Black Cauldron.
Yeah.
No, see, that scared me, and by past tense, I mean, like, last time I watched it, like, a month ago, like, Heffalumps and Woozles are scary.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh goes on an acid trip.
Without having any acid.
Yeah.
Also, is this why I like tea and honey so much?
Maybe. Maybe.
Okay, so, of the Winnie the Pooh characters, who's your favorite?
I always liked Owl.
I love Owl. Mm-hmm. Owl is super underrated.
Mm-hmm.
I do talk a lot. I understand Owl.
Yeah.
Owl's very smart. Is that why you like Owl?
Yeah. I liked Owl and, like, Christopher Robin. I always kind of saw myself as Christopher Robin.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. That's cool.
Main character like syndrome, I guess.
I know. Yeah. Owl's definitely was always a favorite of mine. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, no, it's Piglet for me, 100%.
Yes, you're a Piglet. I'm growing into a rabbit.
As he becomes cynical.
Yeah.
You just don't want to get bounced, it's all.
Yeah, just leave me alone in my garden, stop eating my food.
I credit Winnie the Pooh a lot, because if you've seen the thing, it's like, if Winnie the Pooh can do nothing but eat honey and walk around in a crop top and still feel fabulous, so can you. Well, not you, but like you is the
royal you.
Yes.
Yes,
I mean, if you want to wear a crop top, I support you. It's just
I could pull off a crop top.
Or
hey, we're getting a YouTube channel.
No, I'm gonna take that thought back out of your head now.
Crop top. Okay.
No Maybe stoutness not. Exercises.
Maybe not. Yeah.
No, I love Piglet. I absolutely love Piglet.
Piglet's adorable. I always liked Piglet. I didn't see myself as Piglet, yeah. But I did like Piglet.
I see myself as Piglet. I'm small and I'm pink most of the time because I blush so easily. And I'm, like, afraid of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I stammer. And I'm shy.
Yeah.
See, I'm Piglet.
Yeah, you're
but
a Piglet.
But when it comes down to it, Piglet's most... I like that Piglet's most defining characteristics, besides all the shy and scared of everything, is, like, his fierce loyalty to his friends, and...
He loves his friends, and, like, they take his house, and he's like, that's fine. You need it more than me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, aww.
He's just, like, super, super giving, and I love Piglet. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a Winnie the Pooh... You know, everyone has a Hogwarts house they belong to.
Yeah.
Before that, you always had a Winnie the Pooh character that was like your character. My sister always loved Eeyore was her favorite. Well, probably still is. I'm think. I'll have to ask her. Eeyore is always her favorite. And this was before everyone loved Eeyore. And so it was kind of like, yeah, we like these underspoken characters. And you like Al.
I like Al.
And yeah. Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch Winnie the Pooh now. Okay. Do you have a second favorite since we both like Winnie the Pooh?
Well,
my second favorite's Pete's Dragon.
Robin Hood. It was... When we were kids, there was lots of princess movies. And, I mean, Aladdin was a princess movie, but had, like, a strong main male character.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's named after Aladdin. Robin Hood was, like, a traditional swashbuckling...
Yeah, it was an action.
Action thing. He's outsmarting the Sheriff of Nottingham, and I don't know. I liked it a lot, so...
Do you like Baloo from Jungle Book better or Little John better?
Little
from
John, Robin? Yeah, 100%.
Isn't Little John great? And I like with... the Lady Cluck. Their dynamic is fantastic.
Yeah, and well, and I also kind of liked it tying in just remembering back, like learning that this was like an actual legend and tying that into kind of like old school pop culture.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. That's always, it's such a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, excellent. Cool. Anything else to add from the 70s other than yay Star Wars?
Yay Star Wars.
Yay 70s, even though this crazy turmoil that happened in the Disney company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, turmoil sometimes breeds good stuff, I guess. I guess.
All right, so let's go to trivia then. I asked you some questions last episode about Disneyland because we were talking Disneyland YouTubers.
Yeah, yeah, you're kind of the Disney trivia person.
I know. I loved it.
Yeah. I did my best.
Yeah. Well, you did all right.
No.
So first of all, I asked you... We love the Matterhorn, even though you can't cuddle on it anymore.
No, you can't cuddle on it. Can't ride it at all right now,
well,
actually.
Right now, that's true. It's
under refurbishment.
Yeah, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
I asked you the Yeti's name. This is what you said.
he's George the Yeti. Steve? Did I say Steve?
You said George.
Oh, well,
I know.
Close.
Weird.
Yeah.
You didn't say Dick Van Dyke.
No, I should have. That'd be weird if his name was Dick Van Dyke.
But awesome. His name is Harold, because he's hairy. Mm.
I should have said that. Yeah. What a dummy.
Okay. Question number two. Thurl Ravenscroft voiced three attractions at Disneyland. I asked you to name one of them. You guessed just by the quality of his last name.
Haunted Mansion?
You were absolutely correct.
Nice.
Yeah, he's got that deep voice. That was my deep voice.
What a name to have a voice
I know,
like that.
Right?
It's like, yeah, it crazy.
He also voiced on the Disneyland monorail, and It's a Small World.
One of these things is not like the others.
Right? But yes, Haunted Mansion was absolutely correct.
It'd be funny if they got them mixed up.
Ah! Everyone's crying.
all the small children puppets.
Okay, I asked you the number of attractions on opening day. This is what you said.
I don't know, 30.
You were very overambitious. There were 13. Well, some lists actually say 14, because when you go through the list, it listed the Disneyland band as an attraction. And so on those lists, it's 14, and the ones where it's not listed as an attraction,
it's
13.
I'm actually surprised they didn't list the individual water fountains as attractions. I kind of forgot how unfinished that Disneyland was when it opened.
Well, the reason they didn't do that is because there weren't water fountains.
That's true. They could only have the bathrooms working.
Yes, exactly. They famously came to Walt, I think it was the day before, and they said, we can get either the bathrooms working or the water fountains. And he says, well, people can buy Coke.
He meant the drink.
Yes. Well, it was the 50s, you have to specify. They didn't have a dentist. Okay, and then I asked you, as the second part of this question, how many there were now. This is what you said.
52.
You were astonishingly close. You said 52. There are 56.
Ugh.
That was so close. Good job. All right. So it is traditionally your turn to ask me trivia now.
But it's Disney trivia.
But it's Disney trivia.
We just spoke about how you are the Disney trivia person.
Yes. So instead...
Krista Doo.
So instead I'm going to ask you some questions. Question number one. I was wondering...
I bet you were.
Yes, I was. I mentioned the Aristocats and how that is a popular movie now because of the little kittens.
I like kitties.
Yeah, like this one that's purring into the microphone again. Mm. Hi, Duke. Can you name, I already said Marie is the girl kitten. Can you name one of her brothers?
Absolutely not.
They're French names.
Jacques.
Okay. I could have just asked you all Aristocats trivia, apparently.
Yeah, no, I literally know nothing about Aristocats.
You know what? As a second part of this, speaking of names, I will ignore that first one if you can tell me most of Thomas O'Malley's full name.
What?
He's the main cat in Aristocats.
I don't know anything about Aristocats.
Okay, so we're bad with names of the Aristocats. Okay, moving on then. In the 70s, 1970 actually, on August 6th, the Yippies, which was an offshoot of the hippies of the 60s, this group...
Yeah, they had a protest on Tom Sawyer's Island, and they shut down Disneyland. Wait, was that your question?
Not anymore.
Did I get it?
Yeah.
Did I win?
I was asking to ask where the protest was.
Oh.
Yeah. Where was the protest?
Well, see, this is funny because I asked you a question about when they shut down Disneyland, and that was one of the answers.
Oh, I forgot that. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, new question.
Aw.
Which short film that came out in 1978 is now considered a Christmas or holiday classic? It's an animated one. It's played usually right after, like, Rudolph and Santa Claus is coming to town and all those things. You saw me watch it, and I talked about it in our Christmas episode.
Cool.
I feel better now for you getting the Tom Sawyer one.
I don't know. Is it like Mickey's Gift of the Magi one?
Oh, no, but that's fun. But no, that came out in the 2000s.
Oh, okay.
But
really?
They did do that, yep.
Huh.
Yep, maybe late 90s, early 2000s, something like that. Maybe even 20s.
Is it the one with, it's like, he's got Pluto and he's...
No, but that's a really good one. That came out in,
that's
like...
That's a Christmassy one.
Yes, but that came out in, like, the 40s.
Oh. So I'm, like, in between those two.
Yeah, somewhere in between those. Mickey's not in it.
Mickey's not in it. I don't know. Tom Sawyer's Island, though. Yippies. Good stuff.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a different question, then.
Okay.
This was in the notes, if you read the notes. I just didn't say it, because I was going to... This is my backup question, in case you knew.
No, I didn't read the notes.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
I don't read notes.
So, Winnie the Pooh.
Uh-huh.
And the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, marked something significant. It was the only film after Walt's death that was something. It was a type of film, and it was the only one that was ever done after Walt's death. There were some done before his death, but only one done after.
Type of film.
Yeah. It was a particular type of film that Walt did a few times, and then only once was ever done after he died. You want to hazard a guess, or just no?
Well, I'm curious to see what you have to say. I've seen Winnie the Pooh a whole bunch, and I'm trying to think what would make it special. And I don't know. It's an animated movie. They have book. It's a book.
Mm-hmm. Do you want a hint? Something like Fun and Fancy Free? Something like The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad? So if you think that you know what the answer might be, even though Brandon is not too sure...
Yeah, I don't know. You're a crazy person.
Make sure you message us on social media. You can also just say hi, or if you have a suggestion for future trivia, I think Brandon is going to try and stump me next week.
I'm going to ask better questions.
You wanted me to recite the words.
Yeah, they were on every single episode.
Well, this makes sense if you know the Disney history.
I
Tom Sawyer's Island, I know.
Yeah. Dick Van Dyke. It's Dick Van Dyke.
Okay. The type of film was Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
Okay. Good guess.
Yeah, I don't know. They did break the fourth wall a lot in Winnie the Pooh.
This is true. They did. Yeah. It was pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, that. Maybe that's why I liked it so much. Maybe. I don't know. Okay. Well, anyway, that's our show for today. Thanks to El Mule, who is responsible for our awesome custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website, disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, and you can also find us on social media, Instagram at Disney A Podcast, on Facebook at Disney A, and Twitter at Disney A Podcast. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and many more. Please review our podcast and subscribe. You can also listen to Disney A episodes on Magic the Mouse Radio. We have a new start time.
Woo.
Because our episodes are too long.
Yep. Yeah, we talk a lot.
It's a problem.
Mostly me.
Yeah, well, no, it's both of us. It's definitely both of us. But we're going to start at 3:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
Well, that's Monday, 3:30 yes. Eastern, with replays on Wednesday and Friday, also at 3:30.
You know what works with 3:30, I just realized? That's when I'm off school.
No, nice.
Nice. Yeah, that
so,
works.
So you can just turn on Magic of the Mouse
exactly.
Radio. Yeah, that's cool. You can listen to Magic of the Mouse Radio on Live 365, MyTuner Radio, Radio Garden, and other radio station apps. Also, since we are now excited to get to see the parks reopen,
woohoo!
You can listen to the sounds and music of Disneyland on Magic the Mouse Radio. Join us next week when we return to Disney Plus. We're going back to Disney Plus.
We are.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. We're going to get kind of Canadian. Yay, Canada. We're going to talk Victoria Day and movies you can watch on Disney Plus
Are
somehow connected to Victoria Day. They're British.
Oh, British movies yes. on Disney Plus. Okay.
Well, British
I was a little confused.
British ties. So, okay. Like, maybe they take place.
Mary Poppins.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Mary Poppins is going to be on the list. Yeah.
Peter Pan.
Peter Pan, definitely. Yeah.
That's very British.
Very British. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we should maybe have tea and scones for it.
Okay. Scones are great for your radio voice. Not choking on dry biscuits at all.
And then. Okay, maybe just the tea part. Mm. And honey, like Pooh Bear would approve.
Yes. Okay, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista. Until the next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney, eh?
Brandon will do!
Well, there's the clip at the end.